Grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God your Father, in and through and from his Son, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Israelites had been freed from bondage in Egypt. God provided just the right plagues, perhaps not for Pharaoh, but just the right plagues to free them. The Red Sea parted, giving the Israelites safe passage through the waters. Pharaoh's army was drowned. Then the Israelites became thirsty as they wandered in the wilderness. Moses threw a log into the bitter, undrinkable water at Marah and made it sweet. They had water to drink. What care, love, and concern God had shown the Israelites. So now in our text, we come to the Israelites being a month out on their wanderings in the wilderness and being hungry. So what do? Instead of thanking God for freeing them from Egyptian oppression, and thanking God for giving them Moses and Aaron, and thanking God for giving them water, they began to grumble against Moses and Aaron. They said, "Boy, oh boy, we were better off back in Egyptian slavery, where at least we had pots of meat to eat and plenty of bread. How about some food now, Moses?" Now, isn't it interesting how faulty our memory is about things when we reminisce in the past about the good old days? The Israelites didn't have meat to eat in captivity. They were slaves. Slaves didn't eat meat. The grass is always greener on the other side, even if it's back where you came from originally. Does this grumbling sound familiar to you? "Eat your peas, Billy, and not with your knife." "But Mom, I hate peas. Why can't you fix carrots or even green beans or give me something like that?" Grumble, grumble, grumble. You're going to sit there until you eat your peas, Billy. Be happy that you have anything to eat, unlike some people in the world who have very little. But Billy says, "I hate peas. Why do you make me eat them? They will probably get stuck in my throat." Grumble, grumble, grumble. Or how about this one? "I can't believe that my seminarian husband and I have to live in this tiny, tiny apartment. Why, you have to close the bathroom door before you can even open the kitchen door. And there are so many cockroaches and bugs in this place that when they come out at night and we turn on the lights, we give them names. Don't you know, Lord, that we need a three-bedroom, not this Dinkyville apartment?" Grumble, grumble, grumble. Or, "Why is this professor giving us so much work? I bet he enjoys sitting in his recliner, feet up at night, just thinking about how hard we are working. It's just not fair that he loads so much on us. We want to be LCMS pastors, not professors or not professional bookworms. We should have gone to an easier LCMS seminary." Or even, "I can't believe that my wireless bill has increased 3 times in the last 2 months. I think God has forgotten that we are poor. Why do we have all these financial challenges when the other seminary families don't have them? And what about this car of ours? It seems to drag a different piece of metal every week behind it. Come on, God, do something. This just is not fair." Grumble, grumble, grumble. And if you look at your life, and as I look at my life, we see many places where we grumble. And grumbling is not righteous grumbling. This is grumbling where we are afraid to entrust the Lord with our whole heart, whole mind, and whole soul. We fail to trust God above all things. We forget that He will give us daily bread, not just 3 years of food bank chicken to last for the whole time we are here all at once. So back to our text. Even though the Israelites were real ingrates with regard to God's provision for them, God decided to be gracious to them anyway. That's God's loving, caring nature. He said, I'm going to give you meat, quail, to eat in the evening and bread to eat in the morning. No Sam Adams, no Chardonnay, just the basics. Wonderful sustenance of bread and meat. But I'm also going to give you a little test. I'm going to give you only enough for that day. And I want to see if you can wait until the next day to get your next portion. Because you see, what I want you to do is to rely on me and to know that I will give you that next day's bread, that next day's meat. And so he calls on us to do the same thing, to not wonder and worry about what's going to come for us a week from now, a month from now, a quarter from now, or at the time of vicarage, or at the time of call. Just one day at a time, we trust our Lord Jesus. Well, the Israelites didn't exactly obey that command either. God had told them to take a double portion on the day before the Sabbath so that they would have enough for the Sabbath, but by nature, by sinful nature, being a little stingy, they did not do that. They took more than they needed, they consumed it, and that was against God's will. I am reminded of a cartoon that I saw at one point that illustrates the grumbling of the Israelites. The cartoon showed a whole field filled with this white manna, just lovely. And one Israelite standing there with the other. And one Israelite picked up some of the manna and looked at it and said to the other, "Oh, I was hoping for whole wheat." You know, and that's sometimes our attitude in life too, isn't it? That things aren't exactly as we want, but yet they are as God gives. Despite the Israelites' grumbling, despite our grumbling, God does indeed send us more than what we need. He sends us His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior from sinful, self-centered grumbling. He took our grumbling and all the grumbling of the Israelites to the cross with Him. When the Israelites rebel against our challenges, trials, sufferings, and lot in life, remember that He absorbed all these into His flesh, and these were crucified with Him. So all of His struggles, all the things that lead us to our grumbling are not His final word. His final word is, I love you, I care for you, I will take care of you, even though it might not feel like that at times. So we are now baptized then into Christ. We've come through our own Red Sea. We live as grumblers still because we still have sinful flesh. But relying on Christ, continuing to pray to Him, and to trusting in the wonderful providence of our Father, we then try as hard as we can to not grumble. And when we do grumble, we remember that we are forgiven even more than 7 times 70. So today I suggest to you a new Lenten discipline. The new Lenten discipline is to daily examine your thoughts, your words, and deeds, to see where you have grumbled, and to confess that sin of grumbling, to forgive each other, to go to the divine service, receive God's forgiveness there, and to go to private confession and absolution if your sins are still troubling you. As we look at our own grumbling, we will see the miracle of what Jesus has provided for us on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. May that be your new Lenten discipline in 2014. In Jesus' name, amen.